Uh-oh, we sat in gum. Look, I'm gonna level with you guys. We really fucked up plugging in our mixer, which means our microphones weren't picking up our audio, but that's okay because Rory's laptop computer was the one that picked up all of our audio. So you're gonna get a nice lo-fi treat today. This is the return of the lo-fi fail guys here on the Skimbo Lounge. I got a question for you.
Okay.
In the American theater.
In the theater?
Yes.
Okay.
As an actor.
Yeah.
Going out for stuff. Hoofing it.
Sure.
Cattle calls. Whatever. What have you.
5
Educational theater.
Yeah.
Jazz flats at all. Leave your bullshit at the door because we don't need it. You are a hoofer. You're the best hoofer we got and we knew it.
I'm waiting for the question.
Exactly. It's a theater story. It had to have flair.
Wow. Ba-bow, ba-bow.
Have you ever been up for a role that you really fucking wanted and did not get? Is there, like, the one that got away?
Ooh. I thought playing Constantine would have been pretty fun in our, like, version of The Seagull. Just because I was like, I think it'd be fun to shoot myself. No. I don't know. Trying to think like about it. I was always pretty happy to get the roles that I got because I usually got comic relief. And comic relief was always fun. I thought, Algernon would have been interesting to play in The Importance of Being Earnest just because he's sort of fun and bright and whimsical, you know? But no, I kind of had fun in all the roles that I played.
Okay. So there wasn't really one you feel like you got passed over for?
Not that I ever got passed over. I'll tell you one role I wanted to play. I can't remember the name of the character. You have to tell me. It was Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. I know Dirty Rotten Scoundrels is always played pretty much the same fucking way.
Yeah.
You know? But I always thought it'd be... I kind of think it'd be fun to play both those roles.
To do like a True West thing? And like you and the other actors swap off every other
night? No, I mean, just the, like... that sounds fun too. That
sounds really fun.
That sounds like a lot of fun. But yeah... To play both roles. Even one night, you play a little bit of both roles.
You accidentally... Yeah, you fuck up and
you
do
just,
a couple.
You just switch, like, half... Like, right between... Because it's a four act, isn't it?
That I don't know.
I don't remember. Maybe it's three. But between one... Like, say between act one and act two, you guys just switch roles. Put on each other's costumes. And boom, you go out. Like nothing changed. Really probably would confuse the older people in the crowd.
That's a fun thing that John C. Reilly and Philip Seymour Hoffman did in the play True West.
Really?
They both learned both parts, and they would just swap off nights, one or the other. They prepared two characters, and they were just like rock, paper, scissors for which one we do tonight. I think it was the same thing with Benedict Cumberbatch and Johnny Miller in Frankenstein playing the monster and the doctor.
Wow.
They flipped.
That's interesting. I can see...
I love that shit.
I can see Benedict Cumberbatch as the monster. I don't know if I can see him as Frankenstein.
I don't know. I see him as both.
I mean, he's good. He's good. I'll give him that. The Brit knows how to act.
Oh, yeah.
What about you? Any role you never... You're too good.
No, mine is really sad.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's that?
I wanted to be Tommy's part in the Bow Stratagem. I wanted to be Archer.
You're going to be Archer in the Bow Stratagem.
He was a devilish rogue. He was the hero. He got the babes. And, like, I never go out for parts like that, but I'm like, it's a silly, body restoration period drama. I would love to run around in tights doing swashbuckling shit, kissing girls. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Being the romantic interest and...
Being the romantic lead.
Yeah.
I've never done that before. I'd love to do that in this one. I could bring some real Chris Farley savoir-faire to the role of Archer if I were just given a chance. No, I'm not chiseled. I look like a pack of Pillsbury exploded. I don't know what to do about it. I don't know nutrition yet. But you can hide it with a brocade coat of a fine green color.
Eat some lettuce? I don't know.
I'm still not there yet. The point is, you didn't have to... we could have used the fatness to our advantage. But she didn't trust me enough to do that. So she made me a fat villain.
You did a really good job
No, that was very fun.
Yeah. Well, oh, you know what? You saying that does actually remind me of a role I didn't get that I would have enjoyed. So my junior year of college, they did a show called The Heiress. And it's this really sad story, kind of, well, not even kind of, definitely. You know, it's this doctor and his daughter, and this man comes to court and, you know, seems like he really wants to marry her, and then he fucks off. And then years later, after the doctor has passed away, he kind of comes back and she rejects him, like leaves him at the fucking door knocking. Real kind of sad. We built a whole like Victorian house, like facade on stage. Very beautiful. But I went out knowing I was not going to get the romantic character, you know, because I never got those kind of roles. So that would have been fun to play. But what I really wanted to play was the doctor, the father. And there's this one part where, like, you're being introduced, like, they made us run through this scene, where you're being introduced to the guy who's courting, who's come, you know, and I can't remember what you're supposed to say. It's like, we're not that something. I can't remember. It's like, oh, he's like, well, I noticed you're these. And you kind of do this moment, you're reading the paper. And I knew immediately I wasn't going to get that role when I did it, and everybody laughed, because it's not supposed to be funny. Yeah. But I somehow made it funny. I was like, fuck! And you get the one chance and it's over and you walk the fuck, you know.
That was the same thing with me with the bow stratagem thing. Is I read for Archer, I killed it, I worked on it really hard. And then I went in and I read for Gloss.
And you did even better.
I had such a fucking, I was just playing with house money. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'll just do something silly and have fun.
Yeah. That's exactly what they were looking for.
Oops, riffed my way into being the evil fat guy.
Don't make me laugh, it hurts my lungs.
Oh man, it was so depressing.
Not again.
Oh, really satin gum. But yeah, I don't know. That was a big blow to the old confidence.
Yeah.
But I got over it.
Oh no, I got in. I'm so talented.
I was very well received and got to do my own prosthetic makeup.
Is there any role you've never gotten to play that you've wanted to play?
Funny you say that, because I was thinking about that, a dream role.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I can't articulate a specific one for you. The only thing I know is the type of role I want. And I want it to be something really fucking over the top and intense.
Heartthrob action hero with a huge penis.
Pendulous.
It's built into the costume, folks. Don't be scared.
Full on swinging past your knees. I want something I would call Jack Nicholsonian. I want something big and over the top, because the closest I got to that was a show I did for a Vermont stage company called Boom. And it was two people that get locked in a fucking doomsday bunker together after the world ends. Uh-huh. And they're total opposites. And the guy just, like, they both spin out really bad. And the guy by the end is a fucking, my character was like a raving lunatic. And there's so much I would do different about it today. But it required so much fucking energy to do. I was exhausted at the end of every session.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
And we did a talk back for it, and the director explained why she cast us. And she said, because the girl makes really dark decisions, and the guy, like, referring to us as actors, he was like, Ginevra makes really dark instincts. Alex has very light instincts.
And
I knew right then, that's the only way you get away with an over-the-top Jack Nicholson type thing. If it's too dark, you get some kind of depressing bullshit if it's made with,
if it's evilly whimsical.
If it's whimsical.
Jack Nicholson, baby.
You get Nicholson in Witches of Eastwick.
Well,
a little more of that, a little less Jack Nicholson in The Shining, although that would be fun. So I guess I'll say The Shining. Anyway, what about you?
Oh, like a movie now? I don't even know. I mean, when they, like, they just did The Riddler. I always thought The Riddler would be fun. And not even like... I don't know, what did you, like, now it's been a little while, what did you think of, what was his name?
Paul Dano.
What did you think of Paul Dano's performance? Without giving away too much, because some people probably still haven't time to see the 3-hour Batman movie.
Right. The thing is, without having seen it a second time, that movie grew on me tremendously. The more I thought about it.
I watched it a second time. You really gotta watch it in theater, you know? It's like really like a
real experience.
Real experience, like a kind of like a theater thing. Yeah, I don't know. So what do you...
I am glad we saw it in theaters.
Yeah.
As it's grown on me, the more I think about it, I'm like, Paul Dano's performance is fucking great. You can't beat Colin Farrell. He's the performance of the movie.
That was the thing that blew my mind, is I did not even realize it was Colin Farrell. I didn't. Until I saw like somebody's like, the transformation, I was like, oh my god.
He famously tested the makeup by walking into Starbucks to see if anybody recognized him.
Yeah.
Narrative voice. They didn't.
They did not. That's pretty awesome.
I thought Paul Dano's Riddler was pretty good. What did you think?
You know, I really did enjoy it. I really do like Paul Dano. There's some weird things for me in the writing of it that I don't particularly love. Again, the movie is weird just in the way it's paced and had, like the climax and how it ends. But his portrayal of it is very good. There's some things in it that are a little on the nose, you know, but I don't think that's necessarily him. I think it's just more the way that it needed to be portrayed based on the way the writing came across.
And the writing is like, yeah, it's very layered and complex, which is an appropriate thing for the Riddler, who is an appropriate villain for Batman if you want to showcase his detective side, which I think is way cooler than the ass-kicking. The ass-kicking is requisite. The gadgets are requisite. The costume is requisite. The detective aspect of it is what's so fucking interesting, because well, you see how Batman's mind works and the villain's mind works.
It's noir Batman detective. You know, that's...
Love it.
Neo-noir Batman. Which is pretty damn good. I don't know. I did enjoy it. I think it's a little weirdly... I went back and watched it.
I gotta do it.
And it does hold up pretty well, but... I don't know, 3 hours is still... Like, there's certain moments where I'm like, really? Really gotta be here, Batman?
Yeah. It's only slightly shorter than the Snyder Cut.
Yeah.
And at least that's broken up into chunks where you can kind of take a break and walk away.
Well, there's a lot of the part, like, where... And again, it's because I'm a jaded cynic.
No.
But, like, a lot of the moments with Catwoman, like, that whole storyline, I'm like, this just feels kind of really shoehorned in here. And that's, again, not to discredit the actors in the movie. There's just like a lot of it that feels really fucking on the nose for me. Where I was like, I fucking need this.
Now I'm so curious what you think, but I don't want to get too far into the spoily weeds.
Yeah.
It's been out for a while. People should be... Also, we're notorious assholes. They should be prepared for us to ruin
this. Do we want to just say, like, there's going to be a spoiler question here? You ask it, and they can skip ahead, like, a good couple of seconds.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. You skip around anyways, you piece of shit.
You're probably not even, like, actively listening to this. You're probably making a nice fucking tortellini dinner.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Nice penne alla vodka.
You could, like, maybe those little with cheese inside of raviolis.
Cheese ravioli? Cheese spinach ravioli.
Ooh, that sounds nice.
It's fucking sneaky.
Put, like, some Alfredo on the top, too, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then you get a little Parmesan cheese, you throw that over. Some real Parmesan, not the stuff that comes in the shaker. Get some real stuff from the store. Really, you know, make an event here, guys.
Enjoy yourself.
Oh, that sounds nice.
See, I'm a scumbag. I get the cheese and spinach ravioli. I drench them in butter and I cover them. I absolutely napalm them with Kraft shaky cheese. And some salt.
That's fucking awesome.
It becomes a fucking death glob.
Cheesy, gooey mess.
Oh, it's so good because this pasta, like, I leave it a little al dente, which you're probably not supposed to do with ravioli. But just,
I
like,
think it works.
The chewiness.
I don't think there's anything in here that can get me too sick.
I'm only eating a gallon of this shit.
That sounds nice. That sounds nice.
It's not bad.
So do we want to spoil? Do you want to ask the question? What was the question?
I want to know specifically what aspect of the Batman-Catwoman thing bothered you. Their relationship? Their storyline? Like, what about it?
Well, there's a little bit of it just feels a little ham-fisted.
But like what specifically?
I like there's... So we're doing spoilers?
I guess, yeah.
Is that what we're doing?
I guess so.
If you don't want the Batman spoiled for you, skip to 15 minutes and 15 seconds now.
Because... Selina Kyle is the daughter of, what's his name, the gangster?
Falcone.
Falcone, yeah. And so, like, her involvement in that whole part of the story, I find fine. I think that's fascinating. It's like the moments, like, the quiet, whispered talking on the top of the fucking buildings, and like, I was like, ah,
you don't like the witty repartee?
Just bugged the shit out of me.
Classic Batman and Catwoman.
That's what I said. That's what I'm a cynic about. I was like, oh my god. Like, for a movie that, like, tries to take itself very seriously, those are the moments that lose me the most, I would say. And the tension is built really well, even from the beginning. Like, where you see the gang and you're seeing all these dark alleyways waiting for him to come out of one, and it's just like the real the gang is there and he just comes out of the shadow. You know, it's just, oh, nice touch.
It's
classic
super
Batman.
Cool stuff. So I try to look at it like that. You get that, but then you have to embrace the comic bookiness of Batman and Catwoman.
Well, and see, and that's
bumping uglies.
Instead of me being like, classic Batman. I'm like, oh, God damn it, classic Batman.
Classic Batman.
Why can't I let things be nice?
I know what you did, you monster.
So yeah, that's kind of the parts of it where I was like, why don't you come with me? It's like, again, that kind of line where I was like, that's very Christopher Nolan ending too. So like, I got the touch of it there. I was just like, but I thought you're not trying to be that. But then here you're doing the same thing. Couldn't you have conveyed this in a different way somehow? Without it feeling like being like, Anne Hathaway, was that you?
You want to talk about a terrible Catwoman. Anne Hathaway sucked the bag.
Anne Hathaway
Catwoman.
Did like a really sarcastic, I'm not taking anything seriously, one-dimensional thing.
Her little Julie Newmar thing that she was doing, I'm adaptable.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
You go back to the Princess Diaries. You fuck off to your fake European country. We don't want none of you in cool Batman. I didn't realize that Dark Knight Rises had a lot of haters.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, people like
did not
kind of
like
did not like it.
I very much enjoyed Bane in it.
Bane's amazing.
Bane is so much fun in it. The first time I saw that, I was like, good job.
Think about how unmemorable job, it would Hardy. Be if he just did some kind of scary voice.
Ah, yes. That's very interesting. He's like, I don't know. I found it to be a very fun choice.
Oh, fiddle ferns are back in season.
They want me to order them a Domino's personal pan pizza. Yeah.
It was an amazing choice because it sticks. Oh, you ever watched the Harley voice. Quinn series on HBO Max? The animated one?
No, I did not.
Pretty fun.
Pretty fun?
I'm an adult man. Sometimes I partake of a cartoon.
Well, I watched Birds of Prey and there was parts that were enjoyable, kind of found it overall kind of meh.
Yeah, definitely.
And it kind of made me walk away from the whole, yeah, it made me walk away from DC for a while after I saw that. I think the next thing that kind of rekindled my being okay with it was the second Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Was very, very enjoyable.
If you keep doing shit like James Gunn's Suicide Squad, Matt Reeves' Batman, they're going to do a multiverse Flash. We've definitely talked about all of this before.
Yeah.
You're not doing weird Green Lantern shit yet. You got to figure out how to do that because you really fucked up with the Ryan Reynolds movie. Guys, the Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern film was a real swing and a miss.
I watched that like a month or two ago. Just like had nothing to put on. I was like, let's find something bad. And it happened to be that just to see how it held up. Oh my God. Because it didn't hold up at the beginning. So like to it had the lowest of bars. Just the lowest of bars. And it somehow, the second time through, is worse. Because the CGI isn't even... Because it was bad back then. You're like, oh my God, wow. It really... Everything behind Ryan Reynolds is green. He did this just in a giant green warehouse. There's dudes poking it with tennis balls on sticks. Ooh, watch out. The thing's a hammer now. Just, whoa.
Yeah, Jeffrey Rush was playing a Fishburg.
It's so terrible.
Michael Clark Duncan was some kind of like big nematode.
So yeah, they should probably reboot that. Huh?
Try again and take it seriously reboot. This time. Peter Skarsgård with the giant head.
Everyone, go back and watch Green Lantern.
Fucking A.
Have too much to drink and put on Green Lantern, and you'll puke for sure pretty quick in.
Oh,
it'll,
for sure.
It'll help you.
It might take some of you longer than others to get to the point where you puke, but you will get there by the end of the film.
Yeah, what I'm saying is drink heavily and watch Green Lantern.
Yeah, by the time the credits roll, you'll forget you did it.
Yeah. You'll find something else. You'll be on your phone. You'll be on your phone by the end of it, let's be honest. Yes. I don't know if that's an insult on Green Lantern and the fact that you guys have no attention span. I don't know.
I prefer to think it's both.
Says us, who just rant on it. What the deal with the DC universe?
What's this Flash film going to be like? I hope there's Papa McCore at my theater.
Probably a delight. It's probably just going to be delightful.
Well, let's get into this. There's a whole bunch of... Something's afoot at DC. potentially.
We've always said DC really needs to lean into the dark stuff, because like Marvel Universe, like, oh no, the whole universe died and became ashes. I feel smoky. Oh, but they're coming back. Don't worry. Like, you know, like, damn it, is as far like did they say shit throughout the entirety of any Marvel movie you ever saw?
The only thing that jumps to mind is Doctor Strange called Tony Stark a douchebag.
Mm-hmm. So, not a lot. DC needs to lead into, like, full blood when faces get crushed. Like, they need to keep going the way John Cena's, what is it called?
Peacemaker.
Peacemaker went. That's the way they need to keep leaning, is Peacemaker.
Well, yeah, and again, it, like, the contrast between Peacemaker, James Gunn, and then the new Batman. That's a big gulf. That's okay. Yeah. They don't all need to, you don't need to build a universe. You need to do a really cool, unique take on the property. And I'm not even talking about that, because we agree on that. We've talked about that. They need to make bold choices from film to film instead of building a universe. But you know what makes making bold choices with those films really hard? Is when your actors lose their fucking minds. Ezra Miller, who is the Flash, has been a bad them lately.
What happened? This is interesting.
Ezra Miller went the fuck off in Hawaii and
we all
just
know,
like
that's the Flash.
Ezra Miller's the Flash.
Keep up.
So I'm just gonna say the Flash.
Yeah.
I'm gonna use the Flash's he pronouns because I'll definitely fuck up the they them stuff.
Yeah.
For the purposes of trying to tell the story succinct.
You're so woke.
So the Flash is a man, and we'll say the Flash.
The Flash.
It's also funny to think about him doing all of this in his Flash costume.
In the Flash costume.
Because he's like throwing mad chairs at people in Hawaii. He's like trying to attack women with chairs and shit.
Really?
He's like very unstable.
This is at like a resort somewhere?
I think he's just chilling in Hawaii. I don't know where he's staying.
Ezra Miller showed up on my lawn. What are you doing out there, Flash? Starts throwing chairs. Is that like what we're talking about? Or Ezra Miller's at the beach and starts whipping somebody's like wants more space around them because they're the Flash.
I think the Flash is just showing up to like Fuddruckers and throwing chairs.
Flash tried to punch that seagull. Because that's what I'm envisioning when you say this now. Just shows up wearing the full regalia. He's out there, like, whipping people with towels. I'm the Flash!
For some reason, he's got Aquaman's trident, and he's just persecuting people with it.
Stole this from the set. And to that point, too, like, it's interesting because, like, if you're DC and you're smart, you go, the Batman, like, it's all different universes. That's how they're doing the Flash universe thing, where he's running around doing the blah, 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 blah. You can have the Batman thing still be in the same whole, like, sphere of stuff. It's just happening in a different universe. It's a different realm.
Right. It's what Marvel's getting into now with the multiverse. Theirs is far more homogenized, but...
Exactly.
DC, they can look different. They can feel different.
It allows you to do more campy bullshit if you really want to. It's like, yeah, that's just the universe. Everything was fucking camp. And then you write it in some other fucking show, like they're doing with The Flash, and go, see, it was all really about that.
Well, you say that, and I think now they're going to have to pull that some, like, Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus shit on The Flash, because Ezra Miller, I can read you the highlights.
Hit me.
Been a bad. The Flash may depart the Speed Force if Warner Brothers has anything to say about actor Ezra Miller's recent string of arrests for aggressive and violent behavior.
String of arrests.
Miller was most recently arrested for second-degree assault after an incident at a party in the Puna district of Hawaii. It's alleged that Miller refused to leave the party when asked, a common theme in recent incidents, and then threw a chair, striking a woman on the head, resulting in an approximate half-inch cut.
Wow.
The woman refused treatment and Miller was released Tuesday morning pending further investigation. So that's what's going on with the Flash.
Given... ladies, awesome scars. They can talk. Remember when the Flash hit you with that chair, honey?
It was so exciting. We got a settlement from the Flash.
Kids, come touch the Flash scar.
It's shaped like a lightning bolt, Mama.
See, Hawaii is now in rural Alabama. People can move, okay?
I'll tell you what, during COVID, we decided we're moving to Hawaii.
We got right on out of there, came out here, got harassed by the Flash. Rest of its history. We've been living out here on the beach since.
We figured Hawaii's an island. They ain't getting no COVID there. Now, it turns out we brought COVID to the island. Thus angering Ezra Miller.
I turned
into the Flash.
Just like one of those like old 1950s style trailers out on a beach somewhere. That's what they bought. That's awesome.
We're just playing the ukulele version of.
That's the dream right there. You could be so lucky.
That's a good America. That's culture's. That's a real cultural melting pot.
Joke's on you. Since like everything expanded, that little plot of land is worth $750,000 now.
And the Flash is going to show up and piss on your lawn.
They bought it with a picture of the Flash.
And then you've got our old friend Amber Hehard.
Have you been following that shit?
I've been hearing snippets here and there. Have you been following it?
It's fascinating.
Tell me everything.
Okay.
Because we talk about, real briefly, we talk about someone who may be recast in this fucking DC shit because of her shenanigans.
Oh, Amber Hehard is fucked. I love referring to her like that. Amber Hehard.
Amber Hehard. Tell me everything.
Just basically, I don't know who she's got as her lawyer. Is it her attorney, whatever you want to call it? He sucks. He's fucking terrible. He keeps walking into shit. Johnny Depp is just being a sarcastic asshole, don't get me wrong. But everything he says is more or less true. He's trying to be painted as like an alcoholic and a drug user. And he's like, kind of like, you kind of got me there. I didn't hit her. She didn't have to stick around. She didn't have to be violent towards me. You know, that's what this is about, is that Amber Heard abused me and is on tape saying, play it for the jury, kind of, you know. Who's going to believe that I, Amber Heard, did these things to you? And it's her lawyers trying to walk that back and paint Johnny Depp as being unreliable. Like, so he's just kind of joking through the whole thing. It's such an open and shut, like, there's no real argument you can have because all of this didn't have to be escalated to violence, so she doesn't really have a leg to stand on. The weird thing for me is how hard this message gets co-opted on Twitter and by social media by that, like, really alt-right men's right kind of group.
MGTOW, men go their own way.
Yeah. and that's really good. You deserve this, you bitch! And I'm like, whoa, man.
You took a shit in Johnny Depp's bed!
Yeah, that has come up a little bit.
That's shoot.
Yeah, that shit happened. It's just really funny. I can't remember what the memes that are getting spawned from this trial. Like, I've already heard the that, like, don't, like, more times than I can fucking count. To be honest, my favorite was this one moment where there's the camera on Amber and there's the camera on Johnny, and you hear Amber's lawyer go, now, you describe yourself, said to Johnny Depp, you know, you describe yourself as being bigger than Amber, correct? And he goes, I wouldn't say that. And the look on her face is so hurt. And then they hit her with the music. And it's probably the most savage thing I've seen in regards to the entirety of the trial. If you watch nothing else to do with anything, find that, like, that sequence of events.
That's fucking amazing.
It's destroyer. You're just like, oh my God.
Wow.
And so it's been a lot of stuff like that.
Do you think this is going to lead to a career resurgence for Johnny Depp?
Probably. Or at least a little, like, maybe a little bit of a something. It's definitely going to warm him up in the public eye. But again, maybe not, because that group of guys I was talking about earlier, they don't do anyone any favors. It's like you're a senator and you're like, I'm running for office. And they're like, we the Klan support you, brother. And they're like, no.
Don't help me.
I don't need your help. We're with you 100%. And you're like, what view of mine do you like?
Literally everything you say aligns with my personal ideology.
You, sir, are white. And like, oh, I don't, guys.
Not just white. You're the whitest man I've ever seen.
You just happen to be running against an Indian woman, and it doesn't matter what you say. why did I move to politics, try to run in Georgia? You get what, like, so... It's one of those things. That's not doing Johnny Depp any favors. Like, having this group of guys, like, somebody that, don't get me wrong, 93% of Twitter, at least in terms of the comments in regards to this, are all real people. But they're like, yeah, but that's, like, a lot of bots. There's, like, 7, 8% of all comments about the trial are just robots trying to push a message. And the thing you don't think about when you think about that is that it's not just them being like, here's one thing. It's them being like, here's all these conversations. I'm going to say the same thing 240 times. And just to get this specific narrative and this specific message out in like 140 characters. I sit there and go, does the trial of Johnny Depp really matter that much, like the, to the point where people are like, I'm gonna do some coding about this and really send this point home. That's fucking weird, man.
You see it a lot. I see it a lot on Instagram and in YouTube comments, where it's literally the same thing, word for word,
over and over and over and over
by a bunch of different accounts, spaced out enough that if you miss the first one, you'll catch this one.
Well, and a scary thing about it too is that bots are so much smarter than most people realize. Like, you're going on Twitter, if you say something and you get a weird response from someone with no picture, sometimes that's a real person. A lot of times it's actually a fucking bot. Sometimes you get a pic, they got the picture, you look, no fucking followers, following fucking 1,300 people, and it's just a fucking robot. Or, like, you really can't tell anymore, but you look at it, and they can say, like, you don't know if you're talking to a real person anymore. It's really weird. Because they'll be programmed to say, usually, something about Donald Trump, or some political thing, or to insult your intelligence, in just new creative ways, over and over and over and over again. And to post a GIF that's some 4chan-y-looking fucking thing. And that's just fucking robots.
Yeah,
man.
It's just a Pepe Frog NFT.
I'd really be interested to know how much of Twitter is just robots now. A lot of it. A surprising amount of it.
Do you think, what's going on with Elon Musk and Twitter, by the way?
He bought it. He did buy Twitter. They accepted his request to purchase Twitter. It's like $40-something billion. Jesus. He's also going to make it a private company. So soon you're not going to be able to buy shares, especially if you have shares of Twitter, you'll probably get bought out at a premium, which is going to increase the value of Twitter for a while. The thing that pisses me off is I should have shorted, there's this SPAC company, which is basically just like that's like a blank check company that eventually tries to become an IPO, which is an initial public offering on the stock market, and that's you becoming a stock. And it's for Truth Social, right? Like Media Trust, and I can't remember what the name of the company is. But months ago, like a month or two ago, I was like, I found out about them. I should short the shit out of this fucking company. This is Donald Trump's.
I was just about to say his alternative social media.
Yeah, it's connected directly to his internal social media. They've lost so much of their stock value, right? Especially because Trump was like, nah, I'm not going back to Twitter. I'm going to stay with Truth Social. No one gives a fuck. They've just been bleeding money. And it's so fun to watch. Elon Musk taking over for Twitter is going to be probably pretty fucked.
Do you think he lets Trump back on?
Doesn't matter.
And Trump spins it and comes back on.
I mean, maybe. There's always the potential he tries to unban a lot of noted people. Marjorie Taylor Greene walked up super bold and was like, these are the things my personal account got deleted for, and just walled them all on her fucking congressional Twitter. So everything that got her kicked off before is now on her official Twitter again. So arguably, she should have her congressional Twitter fucking suspended. That's how bold some people are, that Elon Musk is going to come in and be like, fuck this, everybody can say whatever the fuck they want. Open space. Which he's going to run into the same fucking problems that other companies that tried to do that shit before him ran into. Like, weird enough to say, 4chan, something awful. And all of the things that spun from 4chan. You're 8chan or 8kun. Yeah. Doesn't that sound fun, guys? Don't you want to go try? Don't go to those sites.
Please don't.
You don't want to get put on a list. But they all ran into the same problem, which was the United States government stepping in and going, hey, you don't seem to understand, Elon, and that weird head of yours, what you're doing that is of danger to national security. And he's going to go, And the people who think this is going to be this amazing bastion of free speech are going to realize that it's just a different flavor of the same fucking thing. Sorry, weirdos. You can't come on and talk about how you're going to put a bomb in Nancy Pelosi's office. You can't fucking do it. That's not what Twitter was made for. You can't, just because it's a fucking weirdo bought Twitter does not mean they're going to let you guys have free reign to spew hate. But, oh man, they sure do think that right now. And all that's going to happen is Elon Musk is going to use Twitter to make billions of dollars like he has in the open stock market. He's going to use it to manipulate the stock market. Hell, he used his news of buying Twitter to manipulate the stock price of Twitter. Like, so, when is the government going to step in and stop Elon Musk is what I'm trying to say. It's fucking crazy. I'm waiting for him to make a bid on the moon. Like, I don't know what's next now. They let him do shit where
he decided Tesla's stock was too much money, right? So he sent out a tweet. This was like last year or the year before. And went, I think Tesla's stock is worth too much. And they plummeted like a good number of points. So, of course, for Elon Musk, with billions of dollars that he can move around, can buy more stock of Tesla at a premium. Until the next thing he fucking says to drive the price right back up. He manipulates crypto like nobody's fucking business. It's just, why do we let him do this? I don't understand. But now he owns Twitter. So, Elon buys the moon, everybody.
Well, there you have it. And until next time, thank you.
Yeah, you fucking bastard.
Speaking of old men in space.
Don't ask me about Twitter and expect me not to rant about it.
Holy shit, I guess so.
Fuck Elon Musk.
Would you say, Rory?
Yeah.
To invoke something that hasn't been invoked in a very long time. You put Elon Musk on your shit list?
Yes! Yes, I would.
You made my shit list. Maybe I'll pipe in the music.
I'm going to be put on Elon Musk's enemies list. Probably got some AI working on it. I want to find people on the internet saying bad things about me.
Yeah, I don't know why people think it needs to be a short list of like 10 high-profile people, like Nicki Minaj. I'll put every single person who's ever crossed me on that list.
He's such a piece of shit. Starlink's going to destroy the planet, people.
Sweet.
You're using our bad thoughts for fuel. He's a lizard man. Him and Mark Zuckerberg. That's a thing I learned about satellites. Like years ago, China thought it was a good idea to like blow up one of their satellites, unknowingly sending space debris out at dangerous fucking speeds.
There's a ton of space junk around.
There's like a principle for it that if you cause a collision in space, you can cause a cascade effect with how much debris we have in atmosphere that will literally lock us off from the rest of the fucking solar system unless we figure out a way to deal with it for hundreds of thousands of years. So hopefully Elon trying to bring internet to everybody won't do that. It'll never beat fiber optic. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. Satellites. So, thanks, Elon.
Yeah, what are we should not be relying on satellites for our internet. That's fucked.
If they wanted to do it, if they wanted to build a use case for other countries that like don't want to put in the investment and the groundwork to lay down their own like cable network, I kind of understand it. Having said that, the risks really do outweigh the rewards, considering how many satellites they've already fucking lost. I don't know. It just seems really stupid. We'll have like 10 gigabit internet in most cities in the next like 10 years probably.
Dope. But you know what I want to live to see is the world that Star Trek The Next Generation takes place in. So, if we fuck up, we won't get to that point.
Oh, we'll never get there. We'll never. We'll never get there.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell my descendants down the line, you pass this down the line with every generation, that once we finally invent space travel and time travel, we can fold space and time.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a warp drive. We've got a spore drive. As soon as we have that kind of stuff, you travel back to the year 2022 and you pick up your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa and you take him to this beautiful future so he can meet Deanna Troi, tell her she's a fucking fraud to her face, and say, now eat this synthesized ice cream, little piggy.
Jeez.
I see you picking out in 10 forward. I have a personal beef with her. I don't know why. I just decided to, because this is the future I envisioned.
You were a Beverly Crusher man too, huh? Yeah.
No, you know who I was? Ro Laren
was pretty hot.
Cute.
Yeah.
The Bajoran babe.
She looks like she'd be a little angry. Anyway.
Or you say that as though that's a bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was great.
She seemed yeah.
Her and Riker had a real will they? Yes, they did.
Yeah, what a whirlwind. All it took was them losing their memories. Yes, I'm a nerd.
Great episode. He gets them both, doesn't he?
Well,
I think he like, does a little nookie with Troi, too, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, sure, at some point. No Crusher. No Crusher action for old Will Riker.
No hat trick.
Nope. Sure he tried. They left that episode out. You can only see that one at Comic-Con.
Riker's such a fucking putz, dude. I love it.
I love it so much. Will Riker makes that show.
So fucking good.
So fucking
good. Blondes and jazz never go together.
And they all go to Risa.
Just the fuck planet.
Yeah, do they all go to fuck planet? Hey, man, it's cool. Listen, that's how I know that show's fake. Wouldn't everyone just go to work on Risa, man?
Yeah. If there's no such thing as money, why wouldn't you just set up shop on Risa?
Maybe like Risa 1, 2, 3, 4. It'd be a lot of Risas, man. I don't know. The future, that's how I know it's not real, though, is because, like, it's not all Amazon-branded ships. So, that's the only way we're getting
Starfleet-branded.
Yeah. It's going to be him versus some other billionaire that gets there with him. Like, maybe Facebook won't fuck up so bad with Meta that they, like, fall apart into nothing.
I don't know. Aren't women getting mad harassed on Meta?
Oh, yeah. Again, they had to, like, from what I read, they had to set up, like, a buffer between your avatar and other avatars. Because women kept getting groped. So, thanks, humanity. We're doing great.
You did it again, perverts.
Yep. And again, there's nothing you can do to stop them. Because it's not like you can contact other avatars and push them around. Like, we're not that far. It's not Ready Player One yet. So, we're just not there. That's why Meta sucks. You know, that's why most, like, VR, as somebody who had VR, like, it just doesn't fucking, it's not that fun. It just makes you motion sick for the most part.
Yeah.
Like, you can kind of get over that if you do it a lot, but then, you know, you're playing a lot of VR. So.
Yeah. It's murder on the eyes. Whenever I played that sword game with you.
Yeah. Oh, super fun for a while. And then you're like, it's the kind of thing where, like, I got to set up a night to do this because I'm not going to feel right for a couple of hours after I'm done playing this.
Dude.
You're just going to feel weird.
You do. You feel kind of sick to your stomach after.
Well, there's some weird effect, too. Like, your brain. Really, like, it's about the perception of reality, and when you put a screen in front of you, it gives you a weird dissociative effect, so that when you get your brain is trying to get used to your new reality, and the way your body is connected to that reality, i.e. stepping forward does nothing, you know, it kind of does in the world, but in this little grid, and like, you can move forward without moving forward if you really want to, and move around, so your brain is all getting fucked with super hard because of that. And then you do that for a while to the point where your brain goes, okay, I'm used to this. This is cool. And then you take the fucking thing off, and it's like, what the fuck are you doing? What are you doing? And, like, you know, you want to throw up a little bit.
You do. You feel like you swallowed a fucking battery.
You feel real weird. Zuckerberg's fucking up. But Amazon, they're going to be around forever. They're going to be around for fucking ever. They're going to eventually, watch this, like, in the next 20 years, like, in our lifetimes, Amazon, in some way, is going to absorb UPS or FedEx or both. It's going to fucking happen. Because eventually, they're going to be so much of the market share for UPS and FedEx that one of them is going to be willing to sell to Amazon to recoup long-term loss, because Amazon will just keep building its fleet and put both of them out of fucking business. You know? Mm-hmm. Especially if Amazon ever fucking builds their fleet that's so big where they can then outsource their work to other companies. You know what I mean? Like, where Amazon just shows up instead of FedEx and UPS at your office and starts taking your deliveries because they've got such a fucking premium on the market price. Their infrastructure is just so much more efficient in doing it that you'll buy Amazon services rather than FedEx or UPS. That shit's coming. So they'll still be around. They're going to be around forever. Amazon. We all feel stupid about not buying that stock, like Berkshire Hathaway, fucking bastard. Anyone get that? All right, it's fine. It's fine. I don't care.
Would you like to go back to talking about Star Trek TNG?
Yeah, let's do that. So the Amazon ship's going to be pretty great. It's going to be powered by love.
It's going to have a spore drive.
Yeah, and by that I mean children's tears. Jeff Bezos will be alive as an AI. He'll be home. So instead of Data, it'll just be Bezos.
Or would Bezos be Picard? Another noted bald man. Evil Picard. Bezos.
Listen, God help us if AI gets to a point where billionaires can download themselves into anything and it works. Because they'll just be around forever and they'll never need anybody else. They'll just be the singularity themselves. It's an all-knowing group of robot elders. Futurama. We'll have its fucking Those guys are brilliant. They predict everything.
Futurama?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the analog also being The Simpsons.
In The Simpsons, yeah.
Disenchanted, not so much.
No.
Couldn't get into that one.
It was okay. I really just, like, I went back and was like, did I watch the, like, their next, quote, season parts, they call them? And I did. And I was like, wow, I don't remember any of it. It must have been great. So, yeah.
You must have had a time of your life.
Yeah, it was real great stuff. Real whimsical journey I went on.
I just couldn't get into it because, like, they did the tomboy princess thing, and somebody recently, I don't remember who, raised a really good point. They're like, everybody wants great female characters and strong women and women who are written well.
Sure.
But that doesn't always mean they act like fucking men. Going around drinking and brawling and stuff like that. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of, like, strong women who are defined by the fact that they act like men.
Sure.
In a traditional sense.
She's very tomboyish.
Yeah, she's very tomboyish, and she's, like, you know, drinking and brawling and all that stuff. And I look at it like it's at least an interesting point. How can we come up with some fresh ways to depict strong women that doesn't involve them, you know, drinking beer and farting and scratching their crotch?
I mean,
basically Roseanne Barr's entire act.
I don't know. Yeah, I got no idea because I'm a man, and now I was like, wow, this is the perfect character. Finally, a female protagonist that I don't vomit watching. And now you've explained why. Wow, you really just, you're really fucking me up.
It's a night of hard truths.
Fuck, this is why I like the Alien movies. Damn it.
I mean, it's like, you have to take a good, hard look in the mirror.
Oh no. When was the last time I saw someone cry on film? I like weird movies. Yeah, that's something, man.
That's something.
How deep of you?
I don't know. I just, like, I think it's an interesting point. Like, not that I don't love ass-kicker female stuff. I'm just saying that person had a point.
I just, yeah. I'm also, like, the whole Matt, is it Groening? Groening? The Matt Groening crew?
Groening?
The Futurama, now Disenchantment, Simpsons crew. I just go, don't you guys have enough money? Like, can't you guys just fuck off?
Spin Zone, they love what they do.
Fair. If they love what they do, that's one thing. It's just one of those things where I go, I respect, I guess, that they went on and made they made this show instead of being like, we're going to do another 15 seasons of Futurama, and we're going to do another, like, they got to fucking stop making Simpsons episodes. They got to fucking stop, because
that's a horse of a different color.
They're really at the point, like, there's no overarching anything in that show. They just need to fucking call it quits. And I think that's what scares them, is they don't know how to say goodbye to that show. They don't know what is a good send-off for a show that has done everything. There's no way to do a final season. Every rating ever of that show shows that their best years are long, long, long behind them. But they've been on so long that maybe it feels like a disservice to go out with such a fucking whimper of a fucking bang. You know, like, it's...
I think they'll end up wrapping it up with a movie.
Yeah.
When they eventually... I think... They're going to be fucked if they lose someone like Dan Castellaneta or Hank Azaria decides to dip.
Or if Hank Azaria just, like, he gets in a motorcycle crash. Like,
exactly.
Some fucking thing.
Worms. You know what would be funny? Is Mo Sizlak singing the Crash Test Dummy song at a Hank Azaria funeral. Except Hank Azaria is Mo Sizlak, so we couldn't get it.
Oh my god.
It was finally time. It's like that Twilight Zone episode.
That's so sad. He does it in advance. Smart.
Why?
Smart Hank Azaria.
There was this girl who...
I think that's actually pretty great. I think you're right. They do end it with a movie. And I think if they're decent, it ends with all of them dying. Just... Homer tries to jump Springfield Gorge again and dies this time. Bart, sad, having landed his skateboard, commits suicide. Quickly followed by, you guessed it, Maggie. Maggie goes on a killing spree.
Maggie,
that's not true.
SIDS.
Maggie goes on a killing spree and dies in a hail of gunfire from the police. Marge, pills. Lisa gets hooked on the jump because she's a jazz artist.
Interesting. See, I would have gone Lisa does like a virgin suicides type thing. She kills herself.
Maybe
she's
she does it in the end.
For this world, you know what I mean?
Well, maybe she does it in the end. She just does it with the junk. No, I don't. Yeah.
She's maybe. Jennifer Connelly in Requiem for a Dream.
Oh no.
Ass to ass.
That's that. I don't know. We'd have to really age him up, I think.
What? Well, obviously. It's like one of those you future fucking flash forwards.
Pervert. So yeah, but this is all, it's all set up by Homer's death.
Okay.
And everybody slowly starts to go because of it.
That sounds like one of those future forward episodes that they like to do.
Barney's like on his last legs. He's got cirrhosis of the liver and it's really not going well for him. Yeah. Really sad stuff. A lot of them still dead.
Ralph Wiggum finally found a successful alternative to Twitter.
Ralph Wiggum died chewing on his favorite gun.
I'm a militia.
It's so funny. Yeah, just some sad, depressing thing. I think that we'd have to make the saddest, most depressing death the most close to real would be like Milhouse.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know.
Milhouse gets abducted by like Otis Toole. Drives around the back of a van with him duct tape. Burning him with a coat fucking hanger.
Yep, just torturing him day by day. No one hears him. In fact, we do a scene in the middle where he gets away, only to be caught again.
Ooh, I like that. That's some Night Stalker shit. One of the Night... Or no, Dahmer.
Help,
one of Dahmer's victims got away and ran towards a cop and saw Dahmer running by naked too, and he was like, oh, it's just a bunch of gay guys doing gay stuff. So I'll just return him to this gentleman.
Great police work.
He delivered Dahmer back. He delivered Dahmer's victim back to Dahmer.
It's probably like one of the things the police force wish you would forget.
I just see Chief Wiggum reacting to that.
I don't got it.
We can't let people know that we sent someone to die in a serial killer's house after they already escaped.
See, that's the season I wanted The Simpsons, is all the ideas they couldn't do.
Yeah.
Put into ones. Has it been enough time where we can make this joke?
Can we do a Simpsons 9/11 episode? Yeah. Is it finally time?
Yep. See, yeah, just all of the episodes you wish you could see The Simpsons do, that they couldn't.
I think you do you end it with a movie, and the movie is about the idea that The Simpsons are going to move out of Springfield. Then it causes some wacky cascade of events with a cavalcade of celebrity guest stars. Brett the Hitman Hart back on there.
You do it where. It's them leaving, but they realize they can't because they're not real. And the whole thing is a meta existential horror.
It would be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, you don't watch Big Mouth, but they did that in Big Mouth. Like, Nick Kroll, like, goes super meta.
Oh.
Nick Kroll has a scene as his real self with the character that he voices. And it acknowledges that he writes the show.
Oh, weird.
It's very fun.
I was thinking more like, Lisa's trying to scream, but they haven't done the voice of it yet, so she's screaming in the void while her character, the person who does her character, is having a conversation with someone else while she's banging on the fifth wall of nothing. You know, fun stuff. just fun stuff.
It's a nice wholesome way to end a show that's been on way too fucking long.
And like, they're leaving town, but Lisa realizes the futility of it, having seen the fourth wall, so she's just a shell through the whole rest of it. Like, frazzled hair, dead-eyed shell. She saw God, and God used her as nothing but a plaything, and it destroyed her ego and her psyche and her everything.
God sold your entire life to Disney.
Yeah, and it and it breaks her. Now there's the movie I want to see.
Once there was this girl.
All set to, what was that, Crash Test Dummies?
Crash Test Dummies.
All set to Crash Test Dummy songs.
The way that that was used in Venture Brothers, where the pirate captain starts doing it and then everyone joins in.
Yeah, fantastic.
Because at first I thought it was going to be the kind of thing where the pirate captain started and everyone was like, what an asshole for doing this.
Yeah. they all love it. Yeah. Such a beautiful, warm moment.
Goddamn, you talk about one of the most perfectly written shows.
Have you guys watched it yet? I'm waiting for the messages where people go, I finally watched The Venture Bros. I skipped the first episode, like you said, starting the second one. It was confusing at first, and it was very reminiscent of a weird off-brand Johnny Quest, but now I see. I watched a couple episodes. I gave it a chance. I really like it.
You guys
look at all the pop culture references they make.
Loaded. You do absolutely need to skip the first episode, the one that looks like a Flash animation thing. Skip that shit. That's not canon.
Yeah, well, it's just a pilot. They clearly, like, threw the concept of the show around.
Right. Yeah. Totally not canon. Don't worry about it. But, like, people... I want to say this friend of the show, Andy, asked us a long time ago. He's like, you guys talk a lot about shit you don't like. Yeah. Have you ever talked about something that you do like?
Yeah, I do remember this question.
And we rarely cash that chip in. We usually just mercilessly criticize everything.
Like this entire episode, for example.
Roar, that's exactly correct. Like this entire episode, for example.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Venture Bros is one of those rare things where we're telling you, this is fucking great. It is objectively so well written. There are things in the first season that happen that reference things in as far back as the last season before it sadly got canceled. But don't worry, we're not throwing you into a show that isn't going to have an ending. They're doing a movie.
Can't wait.
And I cannot fucking wait.
To quote the great Bart Scott, can't wait.
I hope it's 3 fucking hours and it never ends. It's a loop unto itself. They get caught in a time loop and it loops back so you can watch it forever.
I don't want to leave with Dean and Hank.
Look out, incoming frogmen! It's fantastic.
It's impeccable. I can't find a single flaw in its game.
It's just so well written. It's one of the few shows that I constantly, when I'm done watching, I'm like, I don't know what to put on. I'm not sure. I watch through a lot of shows, and I've watched through them multiple times. And I will get to a point where I go, I can't watch through this again. How I Met Your Mother is a great example.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones is a great example. And to be fair, I watched through those things like 7, 8 fucking times.
Yeah, I went platinum like,
I'm not fucking around. I watched those a lot. I even watch shows I don't like several times through. But this show, I think I could watch through forever.
It's endlessly satisfying. I do a yearly watch. Unless I'm like watching a one-off with you, every year I set aside time to go through chronologically like 2 episodes a night. Take the whole thing in.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing it for a long time, and now that we've technically got all the content we're going to get until the movie,
yeah,
it's got me real antsy in my pantsy to see how they're going to wrap this up. We're telling you guys, rarely do we actually legitimately endorse anything. Venture Brothers,
are you listening?
It's not just the best cartoon I've ever seen, it's one of the best television shows.
Easily top 5.
Easily
top 5 best shows I've ever seen.
Handily top 5.
Yeah.
Perfect, flawless, impeccably written.
Would you say is one of your other top 5 shows? Not movies, shows.
I'm a basic bitch. The Sopranos only had one clunker episode I can think of, and it was the Columbus Day one. Where fucking Dante Silvio is trying to make sure they don't tear down the Columbus statue.
Mm.
It's about heritage.
That's fair.
It's the only clunker in that series. IMHO.
So there you go. Tough question. Another show. I should have known. I mean, Community is up there. That's some of Dan Harmon's great work. I mean, excusing the fourth season, which I don't necessarily skip over all of, but I skip over a lot of it. I don't mind the episode with the balls. If you watch the show, you know what I mean. It's the one where Abed continually regresses into himself.
It's not ringing a bell.
Really? Yeah, you don't watch the
fourth season. I really don't. Like, I think I've watched through the fourth season like maybe twice.
Yeah.
I really love these berries. Where are they from?
Yeah, I get with Jason Alexander. Very good. Yeah, so Community's up there. Breaking Bad is up there for me.
I put Better Call Saul over Breaking Bad in my bracket.
Better Call Saul is excellent. It's hard to say. I haven't watched through it as many times. I really enjoy Better Call Saul, though. I wish I could say the whole universe were the 2 different shows.
Right, exactly.
Breaking Bad is just so well written. It was one of the shows that had the pace that it had that made me feel so fucking tense in the last season. I was just on my edge the whole fucking time being like, what the fuck is this?
If you want to avoid spoilers for the ending of Breaking Bad, skip to 59 minutes and 19 seconds now.
And I think it's one of my main criticisms for El Camino.
Yes.
Is because the tension is broken now.
We didn't need to see anything past the ending of the show.
I mean, spoilies for El Camino. So if you haven't watched El Camino, it's the follow-up movie to Breaking Bad. I know why the tension wasn't there for me. And it's that we're watching it all very much happen after the fact. We already watched him get away. We know it's a hopeful thing. So when it sort of takes the pressure off the end of the show by having it end with him getting where he's going, like, that's what we knew was kind of going to happen anyways. Like, at least that's what it insinuates, really, with the tone of the end of the show, is that Jesse got away, you know?
But you know what sucks? Is if you haven't watched Breaking Bad yet, you kind of brought this on yourself. I should, to spite you, not do a spoiler warning.
No, we're nice people. But no, you're right. Because again, I just like it so much. But, and I guess it's all the good. What did you get away from? Walter? You know, you've seen it. Because I'll give you the benefit of the doubt that you've at least seen Breaking Bad. Not necessarily Better Call Saul, which you also really need to watch. Because I get that there's an argument there for it's better than Breaking Bad. Like, I just, you know, I want to see how it ends before I can make that call. You got to know the whole, you know, I know what Breaking Bad begins, middle, end, you know. I don't know where Better Call Saul is going to end.
That's what's exciting, because Breaking Bad did not end the way that I expected without getting into spoilers.
Yeah.
You'll know what I'm talking about. The penultimate episode, you talk about tension.
Yeah.
I remember we watched the finale together. I watched the penultimate episode in my apartment in Boston by myself, glued to the fucking television.
Hank!
Yes.
Yeah. So good.
Correct.
Yeah.
That immortal line, he made up his mind 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're sitting there watching and you go, this can't be how are they going to get out of this pickle?
How are they going to get out of this bucket of syrup the entire time? Yeah. You have no idea.
And you're sitting there. You know, I don't. If,
that's all we need to say to tantalize them to watch this.
I really hope that you've seen Breaking Bad.
Fuck you if you haven't.
It's a good one. And I get it. Like, I don't want to watch a sad, depressing show about crystal meth. But if you want, if you really do give a fuck about good storytelling, then you got to hear us out. Watch Breaking Bad, watch The Venture Brothers, watch Better Call Saul. These are the shows you need to be watching. We're trying to make you, we're trying to make you have good taste. We're trying to be trendsetters here.
We're trying to elevate you.
You stupid piece of shit.
You Hal Ashby level slobs.
America, you're the people we're talking about. The stupid Alabamians hanging out in Hawaii. Maybe that's good enough for you. I don't know. Open a book, and that book is called Breaking Bad. God. So yeah. If I got to cash my chips for one of them, watch Venture Brothers.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's fun.
They're quick. The thing is, Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul are a commitment. Now, if you're not a total fucking asshole, like most of you people, you'll set aside the time to watch it. Yeah. And don't hammer 4 in a night. Don't binge it. Do 1 or 2.
Yeah.
You don't take your time.
You don't have to overdose on it. Junkie. Oh, and remember, if you're watching Venture Brothers, there's a little bit of a scene after the credits. Very important.
Yes.
Very funny most of the time.
You have to watch the tags all the way through to the credits.
All of them. All of it's important. And all of it's great.
Toast!
Yeah, toast.
You'll get that reference once you watch it.
Yeah, you gotta watch it a couple times, but maybe they'll get that. Pay attention.
Watch with your eyes and your ears open. Watch with your whole being.
Watch it once and then watch it again and take notes. Really important, because we will be quizzing you, and that will be 94% of your grade.
This can't just be another one of your slapdash efforts, like when you're wiping your asses.
Yeah. I don't want to be like, oh, I'm going to throw it on the background while I'm vacuuming. No. This place is a pigsty, and we all know that a vacuum's not going to put lipstick on the pig that is your home.
It is a Band-Aid on a fucking bullet wound.
So don't embarrass us. Don't insult us by doing that.
Just sit the fuck down and watch what we tell you to watch. God damn it.
It's my favorite show. Please. Please.
Well, you have our official recommendations, but Rory,
yeah.
Is there anything you'd like to plug?
Ooh, I thought there was, but no, guess not. That's tough.
Tough look. It's a tough look. You've had some stuff to plug recently.
I have. Do you have anything to plug?
Well, no, I don't either.
Yeah.
See, don't feel too bad.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a no. Yeah. That's a no.
It's a no from me, dog.
Yeah.
I say we punch out of this one. Leave these fucking pigs to their fate. So until next time, thank you, go fuck yourselves, and goodbye.